Our speaker today is ESMR member Jessica Cruz. She will deliver our platform entitled, What It's Like to Be a Foster Child. Jessica and her brother grew up in a foster system. She was adopted at age 10, yet her brother aged out of the system. Jessica has experienced firsthand how not having a family and feeling like no one cares is a stark contrast to having a loving family that supports and nurtures a child. She has given multiple speeches and led discussion platforms on the nitty-gritty experiences of being taken from her biological family, living in foster homes and orphanages, and the life-changing turn of events when a loving family chose her to be theirs. We welcome to the podium Jessica.
That's far away.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Before I get started, can I just take this off? Awesome. I'm Jessica. Hi. I have two questions before I actually dive in, because I just want to know from you guys a couple things. First of all, I would like to know if anyone in the audience has actually been in the foster care system as a child. Nobody, wow. Oh, you have? Okay. You are, yay, me too. How old were you? Seven? Oh, okay. Good. I might look at you at a couple things. The other question I have is, have any of you ever fostered children or adopted children? Oh, that's fantastic. Are any of you currently fostering children? Yay. How old are they, if you don't mind me asking? 11? Okay.
I just take teenage girls.
Teenage girls, okay. Just fostering? Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Please bear with me if I get emotional. First of all, what is foster care? The Missouri Department of Social Services says it's the temporary placement for children without parental care due to neglect, abuse, abandonment, and potentially other reasons, but those are the main ones. But who are these children? Typically, I'm gonna start that over. The Missouri Department of Social Services also says that they're ages 0 to 21. In the state of Missouri, you can foster and adopt up to age 21. Not all states do that. Many have siblings. Some have physical, mental, or emotional disabilities, some mild and some all the way up to severe. All of these children, no matter what, have endured some type of trauma. And I am getting the statistics all out of the way first, and then I'm going to dive into more personal information. Just AdoptUSKids.org advises that traumatic stress happens when children and adolescents are exposed to events or situations that overwhelm their ability to cope and interfere with daily life and their ability to function and interact with others. What's interesting about this statement is that will affect every single child differently. Some children, amazingly, have innate skills inside of them to cope. Some of them learned them early on. Some have absolutely no skills to cope. And I think the biggest part of that is anybody who's interested in fostering or adopting really needs to understand what trauma is and how it affects children, because it will also affect you as a parent or a foster parent. Some basic statistics. The U.S. Census Bureau in 2017 advised that the Missouri population at 1.3 million was 22% children ages 0 to 18. St. Louis population was 24% children, just over 308,000. I give you those numbers first because I want you to see in a global, in a large scale, how many children there are in the state of Missouri and St. Louis. The Child Welfare League of America in 2016 for the state of Missouri advised that there were nearly 12,500 children in the foster care system. Nearly 7,000 enter and exit each year. So the amount pretty much stays the same year over year, which to me is quite sad. But 50% of those children that exit the system actually return home to their parents. This is hard for some people who are foster parents, because what's happening is they're taking children, trying to help them, and then at a certain point, they have to give them back to the parents that they feel hurt them. I think for most people that I speak with who say they don't want to do foster care, it's because of this. They don't want to give them back. They don't think that they have the heart to be able to deal with that. But 20% transfer to new family members for guardianship, so grandparents, aunts and uncles, just other family members. 20% are adopted. 9% are emancipated. That can either mean that they aged out of the system, or before they turned 21, they were able to legally prove that they could live independent and were able to be emancipated prior to becoming an official adult. Of those children still in the foster system, 2,500 approximately are waiting for adoption. This is due to parental rights either being voluntarily or forcibly relinquished. FindLaw.com advises that these parents who have their rights terminated typically are for these four, there are other reasons, but typically these four main reasons. Either they have been found to have severe or chronic abuse of their children, sexual abuse, abandonment, and long-term mental illness. The other one is if the children are already in the foster system, those biological parents have the option to keep in contact with those children. If they don't, then their rights can be terminated as well. The Missouri Department of Social Services advises that the average child in foster care spends 2 years in the system. In that time, they average 3 placements. I had 2 placements and an orphanage, 2 foster families and an orphanage. I'll get a little bit more into those as I dive into my personal story. In 2015, and I don't know why these statistics surprise me from Missouri. I had to relearn all of this. I've done this in Colorado multiple times, but relearning Missouri statistics were fascinating to me. But in 2015, of the children in the foster care system, 73% were white, 20% were black, and 7% identified as something else. Nearly half were male to female. I actually reached out to Kendall Johnson. I forgot to write down her last name. I think it was Johnson, from the Missouri Department of Health and Human Services in St. Charles. There are no statistics for St. Charles. Everything for St. Charles rolls up into St. Louis County. So I just asked her if there's anything she can give me to let you know more close to home what the needs are in St. Charles. She said third grade and higher is what they're currently looking for. She said specifically teenagers. Nobody, and this breaks my heart, nobody wants teenagers, except for a few that I'm very appreciative of. And also those who have siblings. A lot of people only want to have one child, and they don't want to have the burden of siblings, which I can completely understand, but they are hardest to place together. So, question I get often is who can foster? Many people don't think that they would qualify. Missouri Department of Social Services advise that you do not have to be married, which is one of the big things that people still think that they have to be married. You can be single, it doesn't matter your marital status. You do have to be 21 or older, and there is no age cap. So basically, as long as you are healthy and you can physically and mentally care for a child, you qualify. You also, of course, would have to pass a background screen. You can have no abuse, no sexual abuse, no violent history in your background in order to help take care of children. You also have to have a steady income. Many people wonder about this because they think, I can't afford to take care of a child. The state does offer financial help. It's not a lot, but it helps. In 2018, the amount of money that they offered, and I'm only going to focus on older children, per each 6 to 12 year old, The state gives you $456 a month to help with their expenses. For anyone 13 and over, that's $496. Again, that's to help with the food and the other expenses you have to incur to take care of them. Yearly, you get a clothing allowance. For 6 to 12 years old, it's $290. And then for 13 and higher, it's $480. One really good thing is all standard medical costs are covered. So I think that's a big fear is, what do I do with my insurance? What happens if there's an emergency? What if? They cover all of that. So it's not your responsibility to pay for their medical expenses. This is really good, especially for kids that need therapy. That's something that the state covers. So that's the end of my statistics. Now I want to tell you my personal story, because I want you to understand from somebody who has lived through it and come out on the other side a much better person. My mom is here with me today, which I'm very thankful for. She's up here in the front, Beverly. And her brother, my Uncle Jim. I will probably not look at her most of the time I talk about this. No offense. So my earliest memory is when I was 2 years old. It was a pretty benign memory, but I was 2 years old. It was getting my ears pierced. It was extremely painful. My biological mother, which I will refer to her as Terry going forward, I do not call her mom. She was piercing my ears herself. So that's my first memory is that. Onward, there's various pieces of information that I remember. I will advise you guys, some of this is maybe difficult to hear, so I apologize in advance. If anyone needs to leave for any reason, I understand. I don't take it personally. Other memories I have before I was taken from Terry, I remember living with my brother Matt, and her, and this man. I didn't know who he was when I was a child. I know who he is now. But he was a very cruel person. He was not cruel to my brother and I, as far as I remember. If he was, I don't remember it. He was very cruel to her. Well, I guess he was cruel to us, because he made us watch the things he did to her. But he would never touch us. One of my biggest memories I have is he slept in the bedroom. Terry, my brother and I would sleep on a mattress on the floor in the living room, and he would come out sometimes and hold her down onto the bed and shoot her up with some kind of drugs, which I don't know what they were, and make us watch while he did this. This was multiple times that he would do this. I remember him hitting her often. He was a very cruel person. I was born, my brother was born addicted to cocaine. We both had very, very significant emotional mental problems when we were younger. Thanks to the very much the help of my parents and a lot of support, I was able to get through a lot of it. My brother wasn't. At a later point in time, him and I were talking about all of these memories as a child. He didn't realize they were real. We started talking about things, and he thought, wait, I thought that was a nightmare I had. And I felt really bad bringing this stuff up, and I wanted to stop. And he said, no, I need you to tell me. I want to know. And so all of these things that I remembered from between the age of 2 and 4, I was sharing with him because he wanted to know. It broke my heart sharing this stuff with him. That conversation made us realize we have another biological brother we've never met. He was born before we were out of the family. We both decided we will never reach out to him, because if he doesn't know what he's from, I'm not going to be the one to tell him unless he seeks us out. And we both agreed, because we want him to just be happy and live the life he's living without knowing this if he doesn't want to know. So I went off track for a moment. So Being taken from Terry was probably one of the most traumatic things I went through. She, I don't know if she was buying or selling drugs, but inadvertently, the person she was selling or buying from was an undercover police officer. And they tried to arrest her, and she ran. And I was in the car. And so she was fleeing from the police. I had to lay down in the back of the car on the floorboards in the back. You know, in the 70s, nobody ever put their kids in seatbelts. So, but we all lived. Anyway, besides the point. So I'm laying on the floorboards in the back of the car while she's fleeing from the police. I have no idea how long it was. As a child, your sense of time is warped. But I remember when she did finally get pulled over, they took me from her. And I was in the back of the police car, one of the only two times I've ever been in a police car. She was arrested. I was at the police station scared. I can't tell you. I was more scared than some of the times I can remember being scared at home, because I had no idea what was going on. I had no idea where I was or who these people were. So they took me to emergency foster care. This was my first foster family. They police officer took me to this family in St. Louis, and from the moment the police officer left, they were cruel. They were extremely cruel people. This is why, because of them, and then afterwards because of my parents, why good people need to foster. Because there are too many people in the system who only do it for the money, which isn't even that much, but they do it for the money. So when I first got there, the very first day, I'm crying. I don't know what is going on. I don't know who these people are. I was 4 years old. The very first thing that they did was offered me raisins, which seems benign enough, but they told me that they were ants or bugs or something like that, and I'm already distraught, and they kept trying to make me eat these raisins, telling me that they were bugs, and I couldn't eat them, and they kept pushing it and pushing it and laughing, and I was freaking out just a little bit. That was the first day that I was there. My brother was not with me. He wasn't in the car with my with Terry. So I didn't get to see him right away. I was in this foster home by myself. But they had some older kids, like teenagers, that were their own kids. But it took, I would have to say, probably a couple months. I don't know if you know that, but I think it was a couple months before he showed up there at the house with me, because they tried to keep us together. But during that time, I remember one time, I'm guessing it was for 3 nights, because I remember it getting dark 3 times, locked me in a room that I couldn't leave. They did give me food, but I had to go to the bathroom on the floor. I remember them coming in and yelling at me for going to the bathroom on the floor and almost putting my face in it, but trying to act like they were going to. Yelling at me, telling me I can't do that, and then leaving. And again, I'm guessing this was 3 days, because again, 3 nights, I recall. There were so many times, I'm not gonna go into everything, but there are so many things I remember. I can tell you, I do not have one good memory of that home, except when my brother Matt showed up. I was ecstatic that my brother was able to join me. We played, we had each other. No matter what, we had each other. Unfortunately, there was a time that we were playing in the backyard. It was a little fenced in area. This is somewhere off of Grand or Grabway or something, I don't know, but it had a tiny little yard. And we had found a piece of broken glass. Keep in mind, we didn't have toys. So we found this piece of broken glass. It was colored glass. And we thought, oh, this is fun, because it's colored and it's, you know, fun. And so we were chasing each other. We were chasing each other with it, and he had accidentally cut me on my hand with it. So I was bleeding. And so they had to take me to get care for this. But after that, they decided they couldn't handle me anymore. They didn't want me to be there. They only kept my brother. So at this point, I had to go live in an orphanage, which is no longer there, but it was St. Vincent off of something. Natural Bridge. Yeah. So I stayed at St. Vincent off of Natural Bridge, which was, as far as I remember, run by nuns. They were no kinder, unfortunately. I was a troubled child, and I did many things that I shouldn't have done, but I felt like I had no control over. I had no control over the way I was acting or responding to things because I didn't know how to process the information. So there were many times I got in trouble there. Again, confinement, locked into a small room that had a little window. I'm extremely claustrophobic now as an adult, just, you know. I can't be confined in spaces. I don't even like to be sitting amongst people. I like to be on an end because I just can't. I can't stand being confined. So after being in this foster home, I remember once that Terry visited me. That's all I remember is once. She, I guess, was able to get out of jail. What I remember most is that she had this red, sparkly nail polish. That's what I remember. I remember sitting on her lap and playing with her fingernails because she had red, sparkly fingernail polish. That was the highlight of that visit for me. And that, I believe, was the last time I ever saw her. So shortly after, I was told that another family wanted to try to foster me. I'd already had one really sucky experience. I didn't know what to expect. So this is when I actually became a part-time foster child with my parents. It was only on the weekends. I was in first grade, and I think it was just more of a trial. See, that's what they said, that it was, I think because I was a very violent child, extremely violent, and I think they wanted to see if they could handle it. So somehow they did, and about 6 months later, I went to full-time foster placement with them. I will say this, in retrospect, knowing what I know now, they did not prepare my parents for how to deal with me. They tried to foster my brother as well. They tried a couple times to foster my brother. Even my Aunt Janice, who's not here, she tried to foster my brother to help keep him in the family. But I think he'd been in the system at that point so long, and he felt so neglected and alone that he fought every chance to build a connection with an adult. It's that whole nature versus nurture thing. For him, nature took over. Ended up aging out of the system, and he still has struggles with that today. During the time with them, I tried everything I could to push them away. And this is something that's important if you want to foster. I wanted to reject them before they could reject me. So I figure I will hurt you before you can hurt me. I see you nod. Yeah. It's a defense mechanism. It's part of that dealing with trauma. I didn't know what else to do. But to push them away. They kept trying. Eventually, I was in fourth grade, and they adopted me. I think prior to that, there were times that, if I remember correctly, that it was brought up to me that that might be a possibility, and I fought it, saying, nope, my mom's going to come get me. My mom's going to come get me. I don't know if at that time I said that because I wanted to hurt them or if I truly thought, because at that point she was still my mom. As a kid, I couldn't process this. It breaks my heart that I said those things, but I say this because, again, if you are fostering and you have kids that are saying these things, don't take it personally. This is how they're processing this information. This is how they still have that connection to that biological parent or parents that they think will still come back and rescue them and save them. Mine did not, thank God. So I remember my adoption. We still debate over this, if I was 9 or 10. It's an ongoing debate in the family. I'm gonna say 9. I remember it. I remember going to the old St. Charles courthouse up on the hill on 2nd, which is now not that anymore. But every time I drive by, I'm like, that's the building. I remember it. And I point it out to anybody who's in the car with me. You're going to know it whether you want to or not. So I remember I got to pick out this really pretty pink satin dress with a white lace over it. You will never see me wear something like that again. It was very girly. It's what my mom liked, so I did like it too, but I remember that. I remember that I got to verify if I wanted to keep my name. I did change my middle name because I thought it was a boy's name. It was Lee, L-E-E, and so I chose L-E-I-G-H because it was pretty and it was a girl name. We didn't know the exact date I was born. We knew a couple days range that it was. So I got to pick my birthday on my birth certificate. So as a child, I picked the first day in the sequence because it comes around sooner every year. As an adult, there's a flaw in this. Yeah. So we had a big party, even at school, my class. It was during the time with my favorite teacher, which I'm so happy, my fourth grade teacher. We had a big party at school. We had a big party at home. It was a big party. They were celebrating me being in their family. I still had many issues to work through, but feeling like I was actually a part of a family that wanted me. I should tell you this. My mom says this. Nowadays, if you want to foster and adopt a child, you can go onto websites and look at their pictures. You can see little bios about them. You can do some research if you want to about kids that are available. I think specifically for adoption, maybe not fostering, but it's this whole thing that you can take a look at these kids. Back then, they didn't have that. It was paper files and, you know, you got to hear a name over the phone. My mom says this, and I'm going to edit it just a little bit. My mom says that they were giving her names of children, and she said that when she heard my name, it was over the phone, she just heard my name, and she said it felt like something inside of her had jumped. And she said that she knew when she heard my name that I was the one that she wanted. And I still remember that, and it still affects my heart. Moving forward, about a year after I was adopted, Terry, my biological mother, was murdered. It was a gruesome murder. It was quite violent. Actually, the anniversary of it was just last week. So preparing all of this, it was the first time as an adult that I actually got emotional about it, because I think I was diving into all of this, getting ready, and it affected me, and I felt very weird about that because I don't feel anything for her. Nothing. I don't hate her. I feel nothing. Except that day, for some reason, I did. But I processed the emotions and moved on. I realize people ask, if you could go back in time, would you change anything? That's a tough question for someone like me who's been through a lot of what I've been through. Because if I hadn't gone through everything I did, I wouldn't be who I am now. And that's a really tough thing to process. I pride myself on being empathetic, especially towards children. I try to understand where they're coming from. I try to understand if what they're feeling is a reaction to something. Is it because they can't say, or if how they're behaving, I should say, is a reaction to something? Is it because they don't have the words to express what they're feeling, so they act a certain way because it's the only way they can think to let this out? There's so many things that we don't understand, but that's why I circle back and try to help promote strong, ethical, loving people to do foster care, because there are so many people who are doing it that shouldn't be doing it at all. I mean, they should never have children in their home to begin with, but that's a topic for another day. So I enjoy doing things like this, as emotional as it makes me sometimes. I enjoy it because if I can get one or two people to become aware and decide that maybe this is something I should try, even if it's temporary, I have no desire to adopt, but I just want to be there to foster in their time of need, at least go check out the Department of Health and Human Services website. They have training. They have many resources to help parents, foster parents. They don't just throw you out there. They want to make sure that you know what you're getting into and that you have the support and the skills necessary to be able to help these kids, because that's what they need. Teenagers really need it. I don't have numbers. As I told you, there was 9% of the kids who are emancipated. But I look at my brother, who aged out of the system, thinking that there was not one person who loved him. He did. My parents actually loved him. But he didn't think so. He didn't feel that way because he wasn't adopted. He felt like he was by himself. We promised each other we would stay in contact, and we have. There were years we would go without contact, and he would every once in a while reach out to mom and dad. They kept their same phone number, and he would reach out to them. And I actually pay for his cell phone, and I will till the end of time, because I never want him to be in a position where he doesn't have a phone to reach me, because I never want him to feel alone. So I told myself I wasn't going to cry. I've done this so many times that you'd think I would be used to it by now. I'm not. I am thankful that today, compared to back when my parents did this, that they truly understand more about what children go through, and they teach more. I look back at some of the things that, and no offense to you or dad, some of the things that my parents did that would not be acceptable nowadays as far as punishment and all that, because they didn't understand what I was going through. They just thought I was I was making bad decisions, which I was, but it was an underlying cause to those. And I feel bad for parents back in the 70s or even the 80s before there was truly an understanding. And I'm really thankful now that there's a better psychological study of what these kids are going through. I have to say, if this is something you've thought about, if it's something that you're interested in, reach out to the, and I was supposed to have flyers and I forgot them. I'm so sorry that I was going to give you, but I will be glad to give you all the websites you want. But reach out to them, inquire. This lady, Kendall, that I spoke with, she said anybody could reach out to her. Her number is, if you just Google St. Charles Foster Care, her information will come up. It's Kendall Johnston under the, again, all of this is there, something Circuit Court in St. Charles. I'm really well prepared, aren't I? She said she would answer any questions. She would give any resources. You could even attend the training. Even if you didn't decide you wanted to foster, you can at least do that. I would say try if you're interested. You can always back out and say, this isn't for me. But until you go and start the process, you won't actually know that. I have to say, I think of this, this is a terrible way to this is terrible. Has anybody ever fostered pets?
Yeah. We fostered Amber first because I wasn't sure if I could handle it.
I agree. I have friends that foster pets, and I have people say, oh, I couldn't do that because I couldn't give them back, or I couldn't do this. I mean, you know, it's the same argument for kids. But I look at this and say, as someone who's been through the system, even if you have one family who shows you love and kindness, it gives you hope. It gives you hope that there's somebody out there that actually cares about you. My brother will tell you the opposite and say, no, don't get my hopes up because nobody really cares. So again, nature versus nurture. But that's why I say, though, if there's more families who can do this or more people that can do this, that's more children that might have a better chance to become functioning members of society, people who actually care because somebody cared for them. I hope that makes sense. I am ending early because I want you guys to ask questions if you have questions. I'm an open book. I want to address any concerns you might have, anything. Jeff. I don't. Unfortunately, many places are going away from orphanages, as it were, and so I don't know in St. Charles County. I know that there are a couple places that do group homes for the older kids. I don't know about orphanages, though. I apologize. I think it's amazing when we look back and find that inner strength. I like trying to figure out, where did I get that? How did I? A lot of it was, of course, the family that I had. But at a certain point, I realized I no longer want to be a victim of my circumstances. I will take charge of my life. I won't. And I think once I made that determination, it became easier to just let things go. Well, the teacher that I had at the time I was adopted was my favorite teacher. In fact, of ever going to school, she was my favorite teacher. She was extremely supportive, but the problem is the teachers prior to that didn't know, I think, how to respond to me either. My brother at one point was in first grade with me and stabbed a teacher with a pencil, and he had to leave, and we were both extremely violent. My stuff was not so much in public, but they just did not know how to, they didn't have the tools to deal with us. So that was fairly common.
Once you get in the middle school, you have a teacher for one class.
Yeah, you have a different, so you don't really bond with teachers like you would in grade school. Yeah, where you don't have the same teacher. But I think once I left the Catholic school and went to public school, I don't think any of my teachers probably knew much about me. But at that point, I was really doing better. I don't know. I thank my mom. I will say this, when I was 13, I did start going to a church that really helped at that. I don't go there any longer, but at that time, it was something that I needed. It gave me a sense of community that I hadn't had before. I was a part of the youth group, and I mean, there were things there that really helped me at that time that I think I desperately craved. And so I do think that around that age, I still had my battles. I'm sure she would agree to that, but that really helped. Yeah. I know we're running out of time. I know you had your hand up, and that'll probably be the last one.
What is the age difference between you and your
brother? 10 months.
Okay. And then were there other foster kids with mom or other siblings in the house?
Yeah, so I realized I never mentioned my brother, their biological son, which him and I are actually closer than, I mean, their biological son. Him and I are probably closer than my biological brother and I, just because we are now kind of at odds with each other, as far as he, I think, doesn't like how well I'm doing. He doesn't blame me, but my brother Matt, my biological brother Matt, he doesn't like how well I'm doing and how adjusted I am. He never got help he needed. So, but their son Bill, him and I are very close. So they had, and then, like I said, every once in a while, we did have another, I don't have time for that one. Oh, Bill, their son and I are 11 months apart. There was another foster child that they wanted at one point that we had, but I don't have time to go into that. It was a very short stint. Yeah. Okay, I had to be done. Thank you all.